Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good morning. You're listening to WILL AM 580. Stay tuned. International news from the BBC World Service is coming up at 9 o'clock. But first, with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you, Chris, and good Thursday morning, everyone. China's trade deficit ballooned to a record $83.4 billion in the last fiscal year as a surge in exports to the U.S. failed to offset the impact from territorial tensions with China and weak demand from crisis-stricken Europe. The customs figures released this morning showed the U.S. edging ahead of China as Japan's largest export market, as American-bound exports jumped 10.4% from a year earlier to $116.3 billion. Experts are still trying to pin down the chain of events that triggered a mammoth explosion at a Texas fertilizer plant on Wednesday night. The facility, run by West Texas Fertilizer Company, appears to be a place where agricultural fertilizer was likely stored rather than manufactured. Police say between 5 and 15 people are dead, a figure that is expected to rise. More than 150 people have been treated for injuries. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending April 11th. The numbers look like this: millions of bushels wheat this year, 20.3, next year 41.2, corn this year 15.8, next year 0.7, soybeans this year 12.5, and next year 8.4. Also this morning, private exporters reporting to USDA export sales of 252,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2013-14 marketing year. The marketing year for soybeans in the 13-14 begins on September the 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 14,603, down 15 points. The NASDAQ at 3,196 is down 8 1/3. And the S&P 500 is 1549, down 2 1/3 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Too much moisture will occur across the heart of the Midwest as we move forward through this next 7-day period, limiting the amount of field work that could occur across the region. This will be especially true from Missouri and Illinois and immediate neighboring areas of southeastern Iowa, perhaps a few areas in Indiana and Michigan. These areas could easily see 1 to 3 and maybe some local 4-inch amounts of rainfall over the next 7 days, and we'll watch the situation rather closely. There are a couple of significant events that will likely occur, though, to generate the moisture. The first one is the storm system coming up here over the next 2 to 2.5 days. We'll likely see precipitation widespread in these areas. The precipitation event really get underway later today and continuing on through the day tomorrow and finally winding down shortly thereafter. We'll expect the system to produce widespread rain. A lot of areas will end up with enough precipitation to keep farmers out of fields for a little while. And then we'll likely see a couple of days of dry weather, but by the time we get to the early part of next week, there's going to be yet another rain event coming into the region, producing more precipitation. And again, it's going to be focused perhaps on the same area from Missouri to Indiana and Michigan, maybe catching the northern delta as well. So all of these areas will be faced with some frequent disruption to potential field work, and it just doesn't get warm enough between storm systems to really improve the soil so that much field work can occur. The only areas that are probably going to see the relatively good environment for periodic light amounts of field work will likely be in portions of Ohio and northeastern Kentucky and southeastern sections of Indiana, and that will likely occur in front of this larger storm system in the next day or day and a half. The Tennessee River Basin and portions of the southeastern states will also see a good environment for field work to proceed, while areas in the western Corn Belt will probably have a little bit more of a disruption because of a combination of cool temperatures and precipitation occurring on a frequent basis. We do expect to see the upper portions of the Midwest and the northeastern part of the plains to be vulnerable to a rather significant flood event. And this is the culmination of all the snow and rain that has occurred here recently, and yet another storm system will impact that region here over the next 24 to 48 hours with another storm system early next week. So the combination of all that plus the significant snow that's on the ground will likely raise the potential for flooding, especially in the Red River Basin of the north, but over a very large portion of the northeastern plains and upper Midwest in general. And it'll be a while before the ground firms up enough and warms up enough to allow for field work to occur, so many areas in the northwestern Corn Belt will be facing probably an extended period with limited opportunities for field work to occur. Well, the temperatures across the region are going to be still quite a bit cooler than average for a while. We do anticipate the afternoon readings to contrast rather sharply across the region for a little bit. The afternoon readings here today, for instance, will likely run from the 30s and 40s in the northwestern Corn Belt to readings in the 70s and possibly over 80 degrees in the Ohio River Basin. We'll look for the temperatures tomorrow to contrast almost as much or more so, with 80s getting further to the north into Indiana and Ohio. And that's one of the reasons why I think there'll be some fieldwork potential there over the next 2 days, because there won't be a tremendous amount of precipitation potential in some of these areas. In contrast to those 80s, though, in the eastern Midwest, we'll see 30s and 40s in the western Corn Belt, especially from Kansas into Minnesota and parts of the eastern Dakotas. As we move on out into the day on Friday, afternoon highs will be 30s and 40s northwest and 40s and 50s in the southeast. We may see a few readings that will get up into the 60s, perhaps still in the easternmost sections of the region. Low temperatures at night are expected to slip back into 20s and 30s in the western Corn Belt, and in the eastern areas will probably still be well above freezing for a number of days, with the biggest cool-off expected in those areas early next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading in Kansas City. May wheat at 746 and a quarter is up 4 1/4. July, 751 and a half, up 4. May wheat in Chicago, 710, up 6 1/4. July, 713, up 5 3/4. May corn, 662, up 1 1/2. July, 642 and a half, up 1 1/4. And December at 550, up 2 3/4. May soybeans, 1437 and a half, up 15 1/4. July, 1395, up 15. November, 1226, up 8. May soybean meal, 41580, up 850. May soybean oil, 4985, up 46. April live cattle, 12680, down 7 1/2. April feeders, 13590, down 62 1/2. And May lean hogs, 8807 1/2, and they are down 5 cents. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning from soggy Morton.
And it's a soggy Champaign Urbana out on Friends Plaza, now 1.81 inches in the last 24 hours.
Wow. And here we were hoping we got rain to get over this drought, and Looks to me like we have played catch up in a lot of respects.
And then some in Illinois for much of it. So the question now becomes, for the producer, that of a waiting game. Where's the window going to be?
Oh, the window won't be until we get into at least the second week of May, probably. And the cool temperatures will be as much a detriment as wet soils. As you go north and west, and this is an area, Dave, where we expected to see huge increases in corn acres, Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, they're just not going to get corn planted. My guess is that they'll be planting something else, canola, spring wheat, whatever, but too cold.
So let's go ahead and look at the futures, where soybeans seem to be the leader to the upside today.
Beans are the leader. I thought maybe wheat would take a little bit more leadership, but beans are the leader. We did have a bean sale announced to China. It's a 2012 crop. It looks to me like their imports will fall off as we go into new crop, but new crop prices are more than $2 under old crop prices, so as much as they can put off, they will. But for right now, that's not the case.
And we did have export sales this today also, and even though that we had been hearing about these wheat exports, trade missed the wheat guess by a lot.
Yeah, the trade did miss this, but at some point in time, that catch-up will be made.
So turn your attention to the corn market. What do you see there today?
Gulf basis is still looking weak, so we're going to see bear spreads work like we saw yesterday in the May. Probably lose ground. A lot of end users have switched to the July. So that July-December spread that everybody loved is gone south on them. I would anticipate December corn will probably see some resistance here at this 552 area, which was resistance a week ago.
Thank you much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Moorton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, May wheat at 710 is up 6 1/4. July, 713 1/4 up 6. That's the Chicago wheat. May corn, 663 1/4 up 2 3/4. And July, 643 3/4 up 2 1/2. December at 550 up 2 3/4. May soybeans, 1438 1/4 up 16. July at 1395 3/4 up 15 3/4. And November at 1225 3/4 up 7 3/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.